This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil. Jesus said, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our first reading comes from Exodus chapter 36. Bezalel and Oholiab and every craftsman in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Oholiab and every craftsman in whose mind the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him up to come to do the work. And they received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work on the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him freewill offerings every morning, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task that he was doing, and said to Moses, The people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God, to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our third reading comes from Mark chapter 14. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the feast of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people." And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly. And she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, "Why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, we continue with our Lenten responsory. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. At this time, we confess the basics of our faith. The Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus rebukes those who criticize the woman who poured perfume on his head. They accuse her of being wasteful. They tell her that her generosity should have been done somewhere else, directed to the poor, perhaps, rather than towards Jesus. Our Savior, on the other hand, commends the woman. He says, "Leave her alone. Why are you causing her trouble? She has done a beautiful thing for me." Anointing Jesus with this perfume was not a waste at all. Instead, it was a generous and loving gift for him. You see, the perfume, as we know from the text, was worth 300 denarii. And a denarii, as we understand it today, it was about a day's wage. And so it means that this woman, she gave away almost an entire year's salary. To say it is a generous gift towards Jesus really just doesn't do it justice at all. This may, in fact, have been her entire life savings, or at the very least, it was a big chunk of it. But it wasn't really the value of the perfume that made this so beautiful to Jesus. It was that she gave it freely. No one forced her. No one pressured her to sacrifice this. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Instead of being encouraged to give to the Lord, she actually is criticized for giving to the Lord. She gets scolded, and yet that doesn't stop her. She wasn't worried about what someone else would think. She simply desires to give to the Lord, and so that is what she does. Now, Mark's gospel that we heard today doesn't tell us who this woman is, but if we pair Mark's gospel with the gospel account from John, all of a sudden we get these two similar stories and we find out that this woman is Mary, the sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus. You remember the Mary who sat at Jesus' feet while Martha was busying herself around the house? Mary's generous gift is even more beautiful than we would initially think then. Because it's not just a gift that was given freely, it was a gift that was given in faith. Jesus says, "She has anointed my body beforehand for burial." It means that Mary understood. She got it. She knew that Jesus indeed was going to die. Now, burial custom back at this time was that the body would be washed and then would be anointed with spices and perfumes and things and then wrapped with a cloth before it was laid in its final resting place. And this woman understood that she needed to use her perfume to prepare her Savior for death. And it means that her beautiful and generous gift actually points us forward to an even more generous gift, the gift that our Lord himself gave for you and for me and for the whole world. Jesus generously offers himself into death. Mary's gift was generous, right? 300 denarii, but Jesus' gift is worth far more than perfume or gold or silver or diamonds or any such thing that we consider to be precious in this world, because Jesus gives his blood. He gives his death, and it's not just the blood of any man. It is the blood of God. God gives his blood from the cross. He gives himself into death, all of himself. In death, he gives his obedience to God's law. In death, he gives compassion. In death, he gives mercy. He gives his purity. He gives his holiness, and he gives it all to you. No one forced him. No one had to kind of nudge him in that direction or pressure him into this sacrifice. No, he gave freely, and he gave voluntarily. And although he was, you know, we know the story, he was arrested, he was put on trial, you know, Pontius Pilate actually condemned him, but the truth is that he had the divine power within himself the entire time to stop the whole ordeal. But he doesn't. Instead, he humbles himself, and he chooses to give his life for you. When it comes to generosity, when it comes to beauty, no one can match what Jesus has done for us. His gift is the highest expression of love that the world has ever known. And it's because of his gift that you have forgiveness, that you have life, that you have salvation. Satan and his demons, they might accuse you of your sin. But Jesus' generosity promises that you are still forgiven. People may criticize you and scold you for all, find all different kinds of faults within you. But Jesus' generosity promises that your sins are still forgiven. Your own conscience may lead you into despair over your shortcomings, and your own conscience can even condemn you. But Jesus' generosity promises that you are still forgiven. For you, he has done something beautiful. Nothing can take away his love and forgiveness. And it's because Jesus has been so generous to us that we can then follow him in generosity. As God's own people, he commends us to do beautiful work, to be accomplished in faith, faith toward God, and in fervent love toward one another. I mean, we can't follow exactly in Jesus' footsteps. None of us can give our lives for another. That's not what we're talking here. We can't do a salvation for the whole world like Jesus does. And that job's actually already done because Jesus did it. But with thankful hearts for what Jesus has done, we can certainly be generous in our own lives. The truth is that the world is ripe for this. Being in isolation and always kind of glancing at the person next to you in the grocery store or when you're out and having to get something that you need, it causes us to kind of inward reflect and it causes us to kind of start looking out for me, myself, and I, to look out for number one, and it prevents us from being generous, from caring about our neighbor. But my friends, our neighbor needs our generosity. Our neighbor needs our service. Our neighbor needs us to reflect that compassion of Christ out into the rest of the world. We shouldn't just give leftovers or only be generous when it suits us, because that's not what Jesus did. He didn't give whatever he had left. He gave his best. He gave everything. You weren't an afterthought to him. And so why should our neighbor be an afterthought for us? When it comes to our own generosity, we should make thoughtful plans to give in proportion to the way that God has blessed us. There's to be no compulsion involved. In fact, there is no New Testament law that says you must be generous or you must give X amount to other people or to the church. There's no force here. God loves a cheerful and joyful giver who gives freely of what he has already given to them. And it means that the only way we can do this is if we love one another. Oh, love God first, of course, but love our neighbor. It means we need to have love such as Mary showed to Jesus. We need to have love such as Jesus showed to each one of us. Love that is only possible because we've been granted faith in God's word. Love that stops looking at me and instead sees our neighbor in need. It's love that hears the word of the Lord and does what he says. My friends, our Lord spoke the truth. Wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what Mary did for him has been told in memory of her. And today, as we remember her beautiful generosity in anointing Jesus before his death, we remember Jesus' generosity in giving all of himself to us. And with thankful hearts, we remember to follow him in our own generosity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For seasonable weather, and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, you released many from their bondage to sin, death, and the devil, as the healer of the nations. But when it came to release you, the crowd chose a murderer instead. Through our co-crucifixion with you in the waters of baptism, may we continually be released from our sins as we confess you to be our everlasting King. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you. Amen.